Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. It's just me and my dashboard Jesus up here. We're now in the second Sunday of Advent. And as a reminder, Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which just means, someone coming, something coming. But it's used to translate the Greek parousia. And parousia is a word that is used in the New Testament for what is sometimes called the second coming of Christ, Christ's coming again. Because he has come once on that first Christmas, been born as one of us, walked and talked and ate with us, lived and died as one of us and for our salvation, and been raised for us that we might have a share in his resurrection, and then ascended to heaven, to the right hand of the Father. And it is part of our faith that he will come again. We say it. We say it during the Eucharist. It's one of the few parts that you can reply to in some of the Eucharistic prayers, particularly Prayer A. Most of the prayer, I am praying on behalf of the whole congregation, but there comes a moment where I invite you to affirm the mystery of our faith. And you say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Christ will come again. As I said, this is called the parousia in the New Testament. And this Greek word, again, it just means, somebody arriving, somebody coming. But it had a particular usage in the ancient world. It referred to that time when, say, after a battle or a war, when the conquering king comes into the city that is now his by right through the might of his conquering. When he comes and makes his appearance in the city that is now his, because he has won the battle, he is the victor of the war. So when the Roman emperor would come into one of the many cities of the empire, whether it be an official part of the empire or one of the provinces, this would be referred to as his parousia. And this is the same word that is used in the New Testament for when Christ will return. And it's the same word that gets translated into the Latin and then comes down to us in the English as Advent. This is what we are looking toward and celebrating or observing during this season of the church year. We're awaiting the return of the King. Now, I said last week that in some sense the church is like a people asleep, or perhaps a people in sleep paralysis as we await the coming of the King. But if we can recognize that we are not the King, and the church in this sense is not even the kingdom of God, then we will see that it's not our job to bring the justice and the peace to this world that will save it. It's not our job. It's not our job because Christ has already done it. He has already come and brought justice and peace and righteousness. He is the conquering King who has already conquered. When we say that we're looking forward to the parousia, to the advent of the Lord, when we say we're awaiting the King, what we're saying is that the King has already won the battle, that the war is over, that evil has been put to flight, that the powers and the principalities, the forces of darkness and injustice and violence are already overcome. And so it's not our job to go to battle against these things. And if it's not our job, if we don't have to bring about the kingdom of God, if we don't have to save the world, then maybe we can be awakened from that sleep paralysis. No longer overwhelmed by an impossible task we can never accomplish. And then we might actually be able to do some good in the world. If it's not up to us to save the world, to bring justice and peace to this world, if Christ has already done that, then we don't have to be overwhelmed by an impossible task. Then we can just bring justice to our community by bearing witness to the work Christ has already done. We can just love our neighbors. We can just care for the earth that's in front of us. We can just do whatever good work God has put before us and prepared for us to walk in our time and place. Because it's not up to us to win the battle. That was at least last week's message. This week, what I want to do is focus in on just what does it mean for Christ to have won the battle. To focus in on what it means for him to be the conquering King. You see, we get all of these, what we might call prophecies in the Old Testament. Now, when they were written, the people who wrote them might not have thought that they were prophecies, but people much later came along and read them and said, This is a promise of what God will do for us. And some of these actually conflict with each other. I know this is shocking, but sometimes the Bible doesn't exactly agree with itself. Some of these promises or some of these ways of reading the promises in Scripture can be contradictory. And that is in part because they were groping for what had been promised, but they didn't quite see clearly or fully. These prophets of old, even John the Baptist, didn't know what to expect of the coming King, the coming Messiah. If you look at what John the Baptist says, you get the sense that he's really expecting somebody to come riding in on a war horse. A King Messiah who's going to come in and kick those Romans out and straighten up those Sadducees and Pharisees and tell them what's for. Someone who's going to flex the strength of God's arm. Perhaps through military might. The imagery that John the Baptist uses for the coming King, the coming Messiah, is violent imagery. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. He will chop down whatever does not bear fruit. He is coming to baptize you in fire. I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a fun baptism to me. But all of these prophets, all the way up to John the Baptist, they just know the promise. What has been revealed to them is God's promise that in the end, evil will not have the final word. That sin, that injustice, that violence will not have the final word. That the King, the Messiah, will come and establish a kingdom of justice and peace and righteousness. And the only way that they can imagine that this might come about is the way that a conquering king subdues an opposing force. The way that Caesar Augustus gained control of the Roman Empire. And if you want to know how Caesar Augustus gained control of the Roman Empire, you go and ask Mark Antony and you go and ask Cleopatra. You can't, of course, because by the time he gained control of the empire, they were dead. And all those who supported them, well, maybe not all, but many, they can only imagine a conquering king in the ways of the world. But we who are awaiting the return of that king, the return of the Messiah, his parousia, his coming into this world to claim it as his own, since he has already conquered sin, death, and the devil, we who are awaiting this king, we know that that's not the kind of Messiah he is. And thank God it's not. Because sin and evil dwells even in the hearts of the most righteous of us. And if he is the kind of king who simply conquers his enemies, we would have no hope. Thank God that is not the king God has given us. We know what John the Baptist and all the prophets who preceded him did not know. We know how the king, the Messiah, how he comes into this world. He comes as a helpless, a dependent baby child. He comes eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. He comes healing the sick and forgiving the sinner. He comes not to conquer us, but to love us, even unto death, even death on a cross. Notice the imagery that the prophet Isaiah uses in our Old Testament lesson for the coming of the kingdom. The lion lies down with the lamb. The lamb doesn't somehow overcome the lion. The shepherd doesn't come and kill the lion. The lion too is redeemed. The wolf also is healed of his violence. These symbols of the fallen powers and principalities of this world. These symbols of hearts corrupted by sin and evil are not thrown into the fire like chaff. They are restored and healed and brought into reconciliation with those whom they have harmed. We too await the coming of the King just as the prophets of old did, just as John the Baptist once did. But we know what they do not. That the King comes in love. And that he conquers by compassion. And that he saves the world by giving up himself to death on a cross. We know what they did not know. That the King is God's love for us made flesh. That we might be healed of the sin and the evil, and the violence, and the injustice that infects our hearts. And so let us await with eager anticipation the coming again of this King to proclaim his victory over the world. Amen.